Well, thanks for that, Duncan. I have to say that the Home Office now is a kind of, at least on the crime prevention side, a bit of a shadow of its former self. So hopefully people over here, they very much seem to be taking up the mission of leading edge in crime prevention. So that's it's a bit of a relief, but don't expect to learn too much from the Home Office in the next few years. I suppose I would say that because I left it. And then literally about 2 months after that, it fell in half to the Ministry of Justice and the Home Office. So there's some lessons for you there. Right. Central St Martin's College of Art and Design, it's kind of an old and renowned place with connections with William Morris and so on from the 19th century. It's part of an agglomeration of six colleges which form the University of the Arts, which only got universified about 5 or 6 years ago. So this is what's coming up. A very brief whiz through sort of reminder of SEPTED in case anybody here needs reminding. A sort of statement of my kind of self-imposed task of trying to improve SEPTED conceptually, looking at problems of the concept of territoriality, one of the key concepts of SEPTED. I noticed that Kurt and his colleagues seem to be interested in discourses as well, which is a thing that being amongst designers has taught me, cultural studies and so on, which is being quite alert to the different ways in which you actually talk about things, different frames of reference, different terminologies and so on, and actually making this work rather than blundering from one discourse to another. Trying to unpick the concept of territory and territoriality, two separate things in depth. And because I will argue that all the concepts of SEPTED, the key concepts are in a great big tangle, in order to have a clear view of what territory and territoriality are, you really need to try and clarify all the other ones simultaneously. And then a few ideas on next steps. This is a definition which I put together after quite a lot of thinking and debate to try and take the field further on from the kind of classic Tim Crow definitions that always get trotted out on these occasions. So first of all, defining crime prevention in terms of reducing the probability of crime and related problems and their consequent harm, and enhancing the quality of life through community safety. And if any of you want to follow these up, each of these ones I've got some definitions of in depth, so it's a kind of an attempt to provide a complete cognitive map of the area as tools for thinking and communicating rather than just sort of for their own baroque purposes. So we've lost the T. I don't know what to do with the T, but we've got ED now. So it's preventing crime by using the processes of planning and design of the environment on a range of scales from micro to macro types of place, from individual buildings and interiors to wider landscapes, neighbourhoods and cities, to produce designs that are fit for purpose and contextually appropriate in all other respects, while achieving a balance between, on the one hand, the efficiency of avoiding crime problems before the built environment's constructed, and then the adaptability of tackling them through subsequent management and maintenance. The more you can get rid of crime problems upstream, the more costs and hassle you save. But of course, land uses change. You can't exactly predict where people are going to spray graffiti or where they're going to steal cars from and so on. So you have to have this adaptability as well as foresight. So just a quick reminder, basic principles of SEPTED. I'm not quite sure how many of you are unfamiliar with what SEPTED is. You're all, right, okay, well, I'll direct myself towards you, sir. I think I pinched this from Paul Cousins, who probably pinched it from somebody else, but it's quite a nice diagram. Basic principles for designing the environment to prevent crime: territoriality, surveillance, access control, target hardening, controlling the image and reputation of an area and undertaking maintenance, activity support, which is about getting, well, it's exactly the kinds of things we heard about that alleyway on, was it May Lane? Yeah, where you get people doing good, civil, honest, constructive things, so that the people that do the opposite are kind of squeezed out. So those are the basic principles. Theory includes Oscar Newman's defensible space, situational crime prevention, where we try to manipulate the environment to increase the risk and effort and guilt for offending, and decrease reward, decrease provocations, decrease prompts like those broken windows. The Brantingham's environmental criminology and their rather strangely named pattern theory. I mean, which theory does not explain patterns? They talk about crime generators, crime attractors, and they analyse environments in terms of activity nodes where people go, where people do things, and the paths and edges between them. Then we've heard about broken windows. I have to say that observing a lot of the practitioners in the UK, they actually tend to almost use it as a kind of watchword or something like that, a shibboleth, where they sort of pay lip service to it and they kind of uncritically accept it. Whereas, I agree that it's plausible, but the evidence is out on whether it actually works, and particularly in which context it works as a crime generating and potentially a crime preventing process. Paul Cousins, who's now at Curtin University as a criminologist trying to communicate with planners and architects in the planning department and having a bit of a rough time of it, according to him, did a major review of septate evidence a few years ago, and overall they concluded, yes, the individual components of septate activity seem to be effective, but support for the effectiveness of comprehensive septate programs hasn't been unequivocally demonstrated. I was pleased to hear the New South Wales experience actually trying to get systematic evidence going on this morning. That was a good program, and hopefully it will continue. Uncertain precisely how septed and its component parts actually work, the causal mechanisms, where it works best, and how to systematically evaluate its effectiveness. The testing and evaluation procedure that we need to continue with shouldn't just simply say this works, this doesn't work, but what are the principles that kick in here, and what are the causal mechanisms underwriting it. But we can't really do any of that until we have a much clearer statement of SEPTED's working principles. So I rather blundered into the SEPTED area a few years ago, and I was rather dissatisfied with the way it evolved. I mean, it's been around for about 30 years, and it's kind of a bit tired and floppy. There's a pile of ideas, research findings, bits of skilled experience and so on, which have just heaped up in a rather disorganized way. So I thought it was actually time to try and tidy it up and make it a more sort of a leaner, fitter, more articulate discipline, really. And that definition which I introduced at the beginning was part of that. One thing which I think it seriously needs is much better links to its source disciplines. it's kind of in a no man's land between all these other areas: planning, design, architecture, policing, criminology, risk management, sociology. It's stuck there in the middle and doesn't really have clear links to all of them, to the mutual loss of both sides. Since I'm this criminologist who's fallen among designers, as I put it, I thought I'd come up with a kind of design spec for how SEPTED really ought to evolve in the future. We want it to be scientific, that's evidence-based and theory-based, scale and context sensitive, creatively balancing values and priorities within crime and safety and with other values. My colleagues talk about things like paranoid products or vulnerability-led designs where people go over the top with the crime and safety side and tend to mess up everything else. We need professionalism all the more within SEPTED, expertise, quality assurance and ethics. But what we don't want is, you could call it professional defensible space, where the professionals sort of put a wall around themselves. Very much the co-design, participative design thing which we heard about earlier. It lacks a decent process model for collecting know-how, knowledge, and sharing that. And it needs to be more adaptive and futures-oriented, coping with changing technological and the social world. A few years ago, we have this police certificate of design for housing and car parks and so on called Secured by Design. I think you've probably got something similar. A certain car park was rejected from its application for secure car park status because its street lamps were too low. This happened to be at Gatwick Airport. So anyway, nowadays, think about it. Nowadays, they're more flexible and adaptive, but you know, the message of adaptability is still absolutely vital. So I've made various attempts to realise the specification that I set out there. And if you go to our website, designagainstcrime.com, and you look under crime frameworks, there's a section there on SEPTED which lists some of these presentations. One generic introductory presentation, another one I did, unpicking surveillance, the definition that I've given you, and further work trying to get people to sort of understand the concept of discourses in this field. So let's plunge into territoriality. It's not a dingo, I don't think. Never mind. So it's a central concept, but it's pretty poorly defined when you look at all the textbooks. So that means we can't really spot the weaknesses in design that relate to territoriality. We can't articulate them. We can't very well positively design for territoriality, monitor and adjust the mechanisms, see how it's working, and give it a tweak. It blurs our understanding of the values embedded in design and territoriality particularly. It's difficult to undertake innovative trade-offs with values outside security, such as this great big clash between permeability, new urbanism, and defensible space. It even makes it hard to handle trade-offs and conflicts within security. A simple one, territoriality versus surveillance. Walls might keep people out, but they block vision, so you can't see what's going on unless you have transparent fences. Some of those are pretty hideous, so you then collide with aesthetics. Poor definitions like this mean that we can't understand the sort of subtle sociological, cultural, subcultural interpretations and dynamics at different ecological levels, the individual level, individual people, the household level, community level, and so on, that influence how SEPTED is implemented and accepted and how it might go wrong. We don't even have a clear understanding of the different discourses through which territoriality and the other SEPTED concepts are expressed, so we kind of end up the Tower of Babel thing. My son had to make one of these for school once, so it's kind of graved on my heart, because guess who ended up having to make it? So discourse is what kinds of concept and language are used in SETTED? And we find that all those six concepts in that kind of daisy wheel picture that I showed originally, they're entangled and they overlap. So actually, to try and understand territoriality, we have to understand much of the rest because they all kind of mutually define one another. And so we need to deconstruct the concepts and develop definitions in depth, so all the sort of buried connections, the kind of roots underground between the concepts can be exposed to view. And we need to try and actually design the definitions so that they're all in a kind of common discourse and they draw on the same set of subsidiary concepts. So if this is done, it should form a much firmer basis for exploring the more subtle and complex social aspects of SETTED, which, I mean, there was a concept called second generation SETTED, whose sort of heart was in the right place, but it was actually fairly superficial in its understanding of the social dimensions. So just as an example of a way to handle different discourses, describing the environment in a number of different ways. You can think about the environment in terms of its physical, psychological, and social properties, causal properties, and you know the real fundamental particles, if you like, space, movement, manipulation, and force. You know, can you actually lever something? Can you kick something? Can you break it? Shelter and refuge, perception and prospect, understandability and information, motivation and emotion, ownership, competition, and conflict. So that's not necessarily the definitive list, but I'm trying to get together these sort of fundamental primitives of properties of environment. Then you've got the more tangible things, structural features, drawing on the Brantinghams and other people, nodes, paths, barriers and screens, enclosures, containers, furniture and signage, and the things that fill the environment, like people and furniture and mobile things like parked cars. So you can actually zoom in on these. So, for example, zooming in on perception, you can break that down into things like sight and sound. Then just looking at sight, you can break that down into issues like lighting, discrimination, is there a sort of camouflage background where you can't see people or whatever, and sight lines, things you can see and things you can't see. And then you can look at the structural features which affect these properties, like dog legs. Do you have dog legs over here? Yeah, right. Wonderful restaurant last night. Sight screens, barriers, recesses, enclosures, and containers. Obviously things like crowds, parked cars will affect vision as well. And that, of course, will change throughout the day. So these are three or four different ways that you can describe the same environment. Each of them gives you different usable tools. And they can all be influenced by good or bad design. So back to territoriality, and trying to unpick it this time. It's both a value in itself. You know, the Englishman's home is his castle. And it's an instrumental means to crime prevention ends. And as used in SETTED practice and literature, it's pretty unclear whether we're talking about it as a human attribute or a sort of socially ascribed and physical property of space. So it's best to actually split these up, territoriality and territory, but to bring them together under an ecological framework which includes human agents in relation to their physical and social environment. So just on the human side, this is my attempt to actually spell out a definition in a way which is kind of which helps people think about it in a more systematic way. And of course, it actually reading it out, it sounds rather wooden, but when you're actually thinking about it and writing about it, hopefully it kind of unpicks the thing in useful ways, but maybe people will have different views on that later. So it's this complex, it's a propensity. So the discourse is one of sort of psychological propensity, perceptual, emotional and motivational tendencies, goals and resources, leading to responses of acquisition, preferential enjoyment, ownership, management, control and defence of attractive space. And the processes might operate individually or collectively at group, community, institutional or national level. It's a common human propensity, but it might be realised and communicated differently by different individuals and different subcultures. And of course, the interest over here obviously will be how territory relates to indigenous people, how different the concept may or may not be. Territory is held relative to other possible owners, so there have to be relations of acceptance and legitimacy or conflict between the different parties, whether they're private parties or whether it's individuals or groups versus the community or the state. People have different cultural understandings of concepts of ownership, norms of legitimate acquisition, use, defence, and so on. And we need to understand people's roles in relation to territory, you know, ownership, guardianship, usership, etc. So moving on to the spatial side, obviously territory has to be extended in space and durable over some time period. It may extend into virtual or cyberspace. And properties will relate to its utility to users, either territory for its own sake, like a garden to enjoy, or as an enclosure for people instrumentally to sort of secure their person and their belongings. And it has to be identifiable, whose is it, and demarkable, where is it and what are its boundaries. And it kind of, in some respects, it's stating the obvious, but it's doing it in a very systematic, deliberate way. Territory may have properties of access control and wider defensibility, both of which could be facilitated by surveillability and hardening of enclosure. So here, the concept of territory, if you like, I'm drawing the interfaces between that and the other facets of SEPTED. And the territory will have an image to the owner and maybe to other parties, usually require maintenance, which influences the image. And all these properties, again, may be influenced by the design of the environment in interaction with the social context. So that is a kind of attempt to unpick territory in depth, but also to kind of make deliberate links to the other concepts where they, of SEPTED, where they start and where they end. Similar attempt with surveillance. Thinking of discourses, what is surveillance? And at heart, it's an activity or a purposeful task for which somebody acting as a crime preventer has taken responsibility. Surveillability is an instrumental property of the environment conferred by features like sight lines and lighting and so on that we saw just now, which facilitate surveillance. And you can undertake surveillance in support of territory, and it may exploit advantages of defensible space so that you can look out through your peephole or your window onto the territory that you're surveilling. Defensible space, another instrumental property of the environment conferred by features like barriers and markers, linked to the capacity of people to defend it through human resources, whether it's sheer numbers, their assertiveness, their skills and knowledge of how to challenge and respond to intruders, and technical resources like alarms and the dreaded CCTV. Defending the space is an activity closely linked to territoriality. Target hardening. How long have I got? 5 minutes, right. Preventive activity whose purpose is to give targets of crime the property of resistance to physical attack by various methods, stealing, damaging, counterfeiting, smuggling, misuse, misbehavior. We had these designs of bike stands, which we were looking at recently, trying to develop design guidance for bike parking. And we looked at all the different kinds of risk that might happen with bike stands. And all sorts of things came up, like people could use them to get a leg over walls to burgle or to flee the police. And young kids could sit on them, or maybe younger kids could sort of take a stick and bash them and make a loud noise to the irritation of many, but to their own amusement. When one talks about target hardening in SEPTED, there's a fairly slack language used here, because most people seem to think, you know, that if they're target hardening a building. Well, you're actually target hardening a building if you stop people getting into it, or stop people damaging the building, rather. In fact, you're hardening the enclosure to stop them going in and stealing the TV sets or whatever. These are some more examples of how target hardening links to the other concepts. Access control, another set of unpickings and relating them to the other concepts here. So joins up with territoriality, defensible space. Again, all this presentation will be available somewhere, so I don't need to crank through a lot. But the general lesson is that you can actually unpick all the concepts and link them up in a very explicit and articulate way, which hopefully can supply tools for thinking and communication. More examples on image and maintenance there. Oh, that's maintenance. In terms of what I'm doing next, I've had a go at the individual concepts, and I really do want contributions from people out there. This is co-design again, if it works. I mean, if anybody sends me an email or whatever saying you've got that wrong, or I think you need to add that, then I gratefully receive it. Trying to get the whole schema together into a usable package. But the big problem is, of course, if it makes an advance which goes too far, it ceases to be backwards compatible with all that mass of experience and practical knowledge that practitioners have got out there. And the last thing is slightly more for the academics here. How can our sociological and our cultural discourses, our concepts and theories, critique the SEPTED approach and what I've been trying to do in ways that are constructive and rigorous, theoretically interesting and practically helpful? Do we end up sticking with the original six core concepts, or should we try and reform those? Do we actually start from the physical and psychological basics and work upwards, or do we work downwards from sociology, anthropology, and culture? That's it. Thank you.